The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. Hello, this is Mark Steiner, and welcome. You know, we've done many conversations with our friends at Wind River, after Wyoming, Wind River Indian Reservation. Sean Ware, an old friend, was on the show in the summer talking about his life and life out there, and it was a great show. People responded to it. But then he sent me this article that I missed somehow in the New York Times called Brutal Crimes Grip an Indian Reservation by Timothy Williams, and it was about Wind River. And Wind River, it said in the article, I mean, one of the highest murder rates in the country, 49 years, the average life expectancy, 80% unemployment, 40% high school dropout rate, and all the stories one would expect in the popular news about alcoholism, violence, violence against women, child abuse, and those all those kinds of things. So I read the article and wrote him back, and then when I looked at the newspaper, I went off and looked at the responses, and the responses were in there from some people who lived on the res. And I wrote to Sean and said, Sean, it'd be cool to kind of interview some of the folks from that piece. And so and that's how I found out about Willow Pingree and the piece he wrote for the Times and his response to it. And he's a high school student at Fort Washakie High School in Wyoming, in Fort Washakie, Wyoming. And he's with us now. And Willow, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
So how did you find out about this article in the first place? How did that, what happened?
I was in school one day over here. I think it was a week after I found out about it on Facebook, actually. Some of my friends were talking about it, and they say, their responses, really. I didn't really get to read the article when they were talking about it. They were just saying, wow, no, I didn't realize our reservation was this bad, you know. But, you know, that's what they were saying, you know, on Facebook. They were saying, wow, I didn't know I was living in such a terrible place, you know. I guess they were so used to it. But that's what they were saying, you know. I didn't get to read it, actually, till the next day when I went back to school. I think it was on a Monday, or it might have been even in the middle of the week. But mm-hmm. I know for the next part, the next day during my social studies hour, which is like during the middle of the day, history teacher, he asks me, hey, have you read this article online about Wind River Reservation? It's from the New York Times. I said, you know what, last night people on Facebook were telling me about it, but I didn't get to read it till later on. So I read it that day after he told me to read it, and I read through it about three times to make sure I was getting everything he was saying right in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I was. You know, he was talking about, you know, everything negative about it, you know, the dropout rates, you know, the violence and, you know, deaths that were happening here, alcoholism, and, you know, it's just, I skimmed over it a few times, and I thought about it, and I said, in the back of my mind, I was still skimming over, like, the words repeating in my head what my friends were saying. Oh, wow, this place is terrible. But no, I was thinking to myself, you know, wow, it's like, other people are thinking our reservation is this bad, yet, you know, I see the good in it. You know, that counteracts what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause what this guy was writing about was saying everything that, you know, we're trying to prevent, you know, the dropout rates, the high school dropout rates, or even, you know, people who quit college and don't go off and come back to help our people on the reservation, you know, to you know, encourage them to go out and do some good things. So he was, you know, when he was talking about all these bad things about the reservation, not even including one good thing about it, you know, no powwows, no social gatherings or anything like that. So it was going through my head that, you know, I was kind of feeling a little frustrated and confused as to why, you know, an outsider is coming and telling people, even our own people who live on the reservation, how life is and what it is like. That was going through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I read the article, and I looked down at the comments of people writing about it, and there were some people from our hometowns of outside the reservation borders, Riverton and Lander. Some people were talking about it, and you know, they were kind of like standing up for us. Really, they're saying, "Oh, I got friends who live on, you know, my friends are Shoshone, my friends are Arapaho." And, you know, for somebody to talk about their home like that, I've lived among its cultures, I've lived among its peoples, and you know, it's a beautiful thing. But this is like, this article is like very cliche. And it kind of focuses on the stereotypes that people, like, look at when they think about Native American people altogether and reservations as a whole. So, and, you know, I was skimming through the comments, and I happened to notice that, I didn't really see anybody that might have resembled anybody from the reservation, the actual reservation here, home, either for Washakie, Arapaho, or East Sea, or anywhere. So I was thinking maybe I should say something, you know, because I so far I'm not seeing anybody from the reservation speaking up.
And so you decided to be the one to do it.
So yeah, I mean, just so I can, you know, try to set this guy straight. You know, sure.
Right.
Sure, you know, I wrote about it. You know, I wrote a comment. Basically, it started out as just a comment. So, and I said, you know, I've lived on the reservation, you know, all my life. I'll only be 20 in July, but you know, I've seen my fair share, even since I was a young kid, the good and bad of the reservation, and not everything about it is bad. I mean, we got things to counteract what's going on, like drug abuse, you know, alcohol, substance abuse, violence. We got things to counter that, you know, tribal programs, not only tribal programs too, you know, they help with the tribal councils, they help with funding for the programs to help, you know, make people's lives better. And the casinos that we have here that help with jobs and you know, mostly to help people get their lives back on track with jobs and helping them get money for themselves. But then what's the negative aspect of that is that people get addicted to gambling, and that affects their families.
Right.
So we have programs that help with that, you know, gambling addiction.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So the question, the stuff that he wrote in the article for the New York Times, and I outlined at the top of the show all the kind of realities of murder rates, which are high here where we're in Baltimore as well, one of the highest in the country.
Yeah.
And all the rest is real. But the problem you're seeing is that that's not the whole story. That's the story that America sees and gets painted all the time. But for you, the story is deeper, more powerful, more spiritual, more community-oriented than is usually told. And that's what you're trying to talk about.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they were counting Wind River as one of the highest, you know, has the highest rates of murder in the entire United States. And when I heard about those statistics, it kind of like came as a shock. I mean, I know people die on a bit. I mean, not on a daily basis. It's not a bad. I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, where I'm from, I see it. You know, I hate to say it. You know, in all truthfulness, but I've been to more funerals than I can even remember, and most of that was drug, alcohol, and accident related, and it's all connected. But there were also, you know, murders here, and you know, that's not something that should be put off lightly, is that there were people who have been murdered here. But what is the result of that? What is the cause? You know, drugs and alcohol, things that our people were never immune to since, you know, Columbus first landed in America. We were never immune to that, and we still aren't today, as you can see. But you know what I said to the editor was, you know, we do what we can to help our people. You know, things may seem and look bad, and maybe they are, but that doesn't mean we've lost hope in helping our communities improve one another. And that kind of goes back to the sense of renewal and spirituality, like you were telling. I mean, our Native peoples all across the United States and Canada are very spiritual people, are very traditional. And, you know, many of us don't believe that, you know, turning to drugs and alcohol, we believe that turning to those kinds of things, those negative things, gives you a weak spirit. And believing in all negativeness, you know, anything bad, whether it be if you succumb to grief of negative things, like if one of your family members was murdered, or if they died of drinking alcohol, you know, drinking themselves to death, or they were killed in a car crash or something, you know, you let that guilt overcome you like that. It lowers your spirit, and that could probably induce you to drink alcohol, use drugs, you know, do negative things. And you know, our people are very traditional in their beliefs. They're very spiritual, and we believe in, you know, in harmony and balance in your life. And if one of those things is missing, and that's, you know, it affects not only you, but it affects everyone else around you. It kind of gives off a karma, if you will, like a different spirit that reaches out to every other person, individual. It touches them, and it goes all the way around till it comes back to you, and you are fully affected by it.
You wrote something. I took a sneak look at your Facebook page before we went on the air here together. And I want to read something that you wrote on your page, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
That's fine.
And I want you to just tell us, after I read this, how that manifests itself on Wind River, how you see the change coming, where you see the power coming. This, because I thought it was a very powerful statement you wrote. I just want to read it to our listeners you wrote, I don't, when you wrote it, maybe it's on February 19th. You wrote, "Our leaders, our chiefs, knew that change would come to all of our people and that it would be inevitable. And so for centuries of oppression, near extinction and assimilation, our people are still mending the broken hoop. But we have not lost hope, and the government has not broken our spirit, and they never will. It is within our power and dedication that our people's future is secure." I thought it was a very powerful short statement you wrote there. And it seemed to lend itself to what you were trying to write, what you did write, in your response to the article in the New York Times. So could you express how you see that, what you wrote, manifest itself day to day on the reservation at Wind River?
Yes. When, you know, I write these kinds of things all the time on Facebook. That's one of the main reasons why I got one, was not to, you know, be dramatic or not to cause problems for anybody. Like most people nowadays say Facebook is just a diary of their lives. Mm-hmm. And they talk about relationships or breakups and things like that.
Right.
But when I got mine, I wanted to, you know, give people inspiring messages every day so that they can, you know, remember the hope that they still have, you know, inside themselves as Native people and as people in general, maybe not just Native people, because, you know, it's all, like, intermingled with how you see yourself in your life and the balance that needs to be there in order for you to, you know, go on and overcome all, you know, all obstacles in your path. And when I wrote that statement that you read, you know, it just goes back to me learning about our treaties, you know, within all Native tribes, particularly our Shoshone, Arapaho, our Cheyenne, Lakota, you know, all, mostly Plains and Basin tribes that I'm associated with and my family's associated with. I set out what I know about the treaty rights, the treaty laws, and how, you know, the government should abide by them, since they were the ones who made the treaty in the first place. And so far, like, Native peoples were the only ones abiding by the treaty, even though how many times it was broken promise after promise and all that. But started doing any of this, I was learning about the history of the treaties, you know, going to my elders, speaking about it, talking about the language and how our people are connected, you know, to everything around us. When they say Native American people have, strong connection with the spirit world, with Mother Earth, or, you know, everything around us. That's a true statement. It may sound cliche, but it's a true thing. All our peoples are connected some way or somehow. And I came to terms with that after learning about the teachings from my mother, my grandparents, my father, and they just seeing the environment around me, seeing the world around me, and remembering that our chiefs, our leaders before my time, my parents' time, and our ancestors are all of us. You know, they sacrificed everything, and they fought as hard as they could to secure what we have today. And, you know, that to me is more inspiration than, you know, what can be written on paper or anything like that. So when I wrote that statement, you know, or any inspiration that I make, I'm hoping that it, you know, helps people in their lives. I'm not, when I do these things, I don't, you know, I don't want attention. I don't want to be recognized, really. You know, when our people are always brought up to be in a humble manner, to not boast about, you know, accomplishments, really, to just do what you can for the people. Do it, you know, so you can secure our future.
You wrote in the piece that you're also part of this group called United National Indian Tribal Youth Unity.
Yeah.
You're obviously very involved both in the life of your generation and the life of the community in terms of powwows and Sundances and all the gatherings. But what is Unity? What is that work you do with that?
United National Indian Tribal Youth, I think, was established in it might have been established in Minnesota, if I remember right. Wind River Unity is just like a branch off chapter. They came and helped us out, according to Edward Wada, who's a tribal liaison here on the Wind River Reservation. He was one of the first. He was actually, I think, one of the first back in the 80s. Okay, a brief summary. Back in the 80s, I can't remember when. But anyways, it was before my time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a string of suicides that happened here on the reservation, and one of those was one of my uncles, and or one of my family members. I know him for sure that he was one of my family members. My parents knew him; they loved him, they raised him before, you know, they knew they were going to have me, and you know, they raised him as their own kid, and they loved him as their own. I mean, he was a happy guy. He was never angry with anybody. Everybody loved him. Everybody who knew him loved him. Everybody who didn't know him knew he was a good guy. And just for an unexplained reason, people just started dying. They started taking their own lives, and he was among one of them. That's why people said it didn't make any sense, because he never gave the impression as to why he would take his own life. And he wasn't the only one. There were countless others who did it within a span of weeks, actually, I'm pretty sure. So it started scaring people. Our elders were called in, you know, our medicine men were called in, you know. They were scared, basically. So they didn't know what to do. So, you know, the young people from here asked for the assistance from United National Indian Tribal Youth, Unity. And they came here, and we established, they established their own youth council here on the reservation. And Edward Wada and Georgia Beta, names respectively, they work here now. And when they were my age, or maybe even a little younger, that's when they started that unity council here. They were the leaders then. And they brought to light the events that happened, but they also wanted to encourage people to remember their traditional roots and values in order to overcome, you know, any obstacles in your life, any situations that you might find you can't get yourself out of, or, you know, like these. So they established that youth council to help, you know, people remember their place, you know, remember who they are. And it also helped to, you know, I guess establish that it is in the young people that the future of all people is secure, you know, is there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it started. And it was revisioned in 2005, I think, what Edward Wada said, or revisioned, or like it was brought back to light after a while,
mm-hmm.
after everything died down, and nothing major was happening, and Unity was doing a good job. It kind of faded out a little bit, I guess, and it came back in 2005 as a renewed youth council, and they started on from high school and college students on up to be recruited to lead the council, be part of the youth council. And I started in Unity about 4 years ago when one of my friends suggested that I do it, because when I was here at this charter school, I first started at this charter school, I wanted to make a difference, because I started noticing that when I first started this charter school, that was a year when a lot of people started dying in car crashes, drug-related, you know, deaths, alcohol abuse. More, like I said, I've been to more funerals than I can count, and it was in that year alone that I started losing count of how many funerals I went to. I started singing at. It was kind of I was at a loss, really. So before I knew about the youth council, I wanted to, you know, do something. I learned about the histories of our tribes. I took a Native American studies class over here, and I got, you know, I was one of the top ranking because I wanted to learn about my history. Before I started here at charter school, I went to my freshman year at Lander Valley High School, which was a primarily, white school. We had a few Native American students in there. But they didn't teach Native studies. They didn't teach Native languages. And they had one day recognizing Native Americans. And, you know, that kind of prompted me to come here and learn about my Shoshone language, learn about, you know, because I got some of my family members work in the school, so I wanted to learn from them our histories, you know, our customs, our traditional values. And that's where I learned it from. And I learned how to sing in my native, you know, native ways of singing, traditional singing. And that's where it came from, was here, people who taught me here.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of helped me along to understand the histories when I learned about the people who started, I learned about in the 60s and 70s, after the boarding school era, like almost came to an like abrupt halt during that time. After Native people started standing up for their rights during the AIM days, the American
AIM days,
Indian Movement
right,
days.
Yeah. Right. American
when
Indian
they started
Movement.
When they started standing up for their rights. And then that reading about that, you know, as a recent part of history when we stood up against the government, you know, to let them know that we're not going to be silent, that injustices are not going to go unanswered to Native peoples or any other kind of people, you know, that were happening all across America during that time. So that I learned about that history, and when I heard about they were helping advocate sobriety, they were helping advocate, you know, remembering your traditional beliefs as Native peoples, and they started helping to form Native-run schools, helping to establish Native-run businesses, and to start teaching Native beliefs, Native American values, and languages inside schools, where in boarding schools all that would have been shunned. So when I learned about all this, and I started noticing the things around me, like alcoholism, you know, domestic sexual abuse, you know, things that I was learning about were happening on my home reservation here in Wind River, I wanted to, you know, start what I wanted to call the youth council, which I didn't know already existed until somebody, you know, showed me that there was something called Unity. So the first time I went to Unity was about 4 years ago, and they have a winter retreat here just outside in Lander every year that focuses on different kind of topics. Actually, they help with focus on issues such as, like I said, family and sexual abuse and all mm-hmm. that, domestic violence, drug and alcohol consumption, and what we can do to prevent and help, you know, lower that. And that's what the youth council started. Showed me. And there were more high school and primarily high school and college students during that time when I went. And as time evolved, and I noticed as more time progressed, like over the years that we started to, because more involved in helping lead in prayers, and I guess they wanted to me because of how I learned to be how I learned my traditional beliefs from my parents and my grandparents. They wanted me to be sort of like a cultural advisor, you know, for the youth council. So I went ahead and said, yeah, okay, you know, somebody their age can help them. So, you know, that's what I started to do, and I became more involved with the youth council, and they started, you know, wanting me to be more involved with them to help them with the youth. So that's mm-hmm. what I started to do. And like I said, it's that youth council helps with it advocates sobriety, of course, you know, number one thing, because those drugs and alcohol are a bad issue on our reservation, and that's one of the things that helps combat it. And they help with healthy relationships and team building and being social with one another, because you shouldn't be isolated from one another as a people. So that's what the Youth Council Unity on this reservation is primary.
I think, again, everything you're saying just shows the power of what people are trying to do in a positive way and building something and doing something different to battle the stereotypes that we all get thrown out here all the time. And I'm glad you wrote what you wrote. And just kind of close with this, that one of the things that hit me, you're a very good writer, Willow. I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
And the first two paragraphs that you wrote, My Home was the piece was called, and we will link to it. People can get up there and see what Willow wrote back to the New York Times in the original article. Those first two paragraphs where you are just so beautiful because it describes the other part that people don't want to hear and see. Read for our listeners this how you opened your piece when you wrote the response to the New York Times article on Wind River Reservation, please.
Okay. The smell of fried bread and burgers, the laughter of friends and family reminiscing about good old times, the sound of music and the sight of people dressed in regalia, dancing inside an arbor while spectators watch from bleachers around the big arena. You'd find all this at the annual Eastern Shoshone Indian Days or the Northern Arapaho Celebration Powwow on the Wind River Indian Reservation in Wyoming. As you walk around the outside of the dance arbor, you'd see crowds of people walking around you, sitting against wooden posts built along the outer rim of the powwow arbor, people sitting around a big circular drum beating on it together in one rhythm and singing together in harmony. As the singers continue blasting their voices to the sky, the dancers slide and sway to the heartbeat of the people, the powerful sound of the drum. Surrounding them, the rolling hills, the sagebrush covering the beautiful prairies, the awe-inspiring view of the towering Wind River Mountains. This is my home, and it has been the home of my Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho people since long before my generation.
Willow Pingree, thank you, brother, for what you've written and for standing up for the truth and power of your people and for all of us.
Oh, of course.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com.